Welcome, everyone else. Good to be here. This morning I was sitting over getting ready for class and spilled my coffee on my sermon notes. Got the book I'm going to read from with coffee stains. Sermon notes, coffee stains over them. The paper's dried out. It's crispy kind of now and brown. And it spilled onto my mask, which now I have a coffee-scented mask. It's good. All the while, in the back row, Steve Lotspeech just laughing, thinking that's just so funny. Thanks, Steve. Good to be here. Welcome, Bob. Well, we're on a series of Genesis, a study of the book of Genesis called In the Beginning. And, you know, some people are reading through the Bible. They're on a reading plan for the year. And right now, they're already at the end of Genesis and maybe even into Exodus as they've begun reading through the Bible. We, however, are still on chapters 1 and 2, and we'll be there again next week. So as I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was teaching at ACU, teaching the message of the Old Testament, all the people who were teaching this class always had this same problem. We couldn't get out of chapter 1 and 2. But the reason is there's so much there, and it's very foundational. So you want to have a good, solid foundation, so we're going to spend a little bit of more time in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We are talking about the Torah, and here's the best way I want to talk about it today. The Torah, the instructions, the law, the rules, the way, the right way to live. Or we could say it like this: holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. That's what we're about. That's what we're reading. That's what we're thinking about. They resound with God's own heart, these words from Genesis. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength and help us cope in this world. Where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We've come with open hearts, so let the ancient words impart. Let's pray. God, today we pray that these ancient words speak life into us, that they give us direction, strength for our journey, and that we will be a better people from reading and listening to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about the stories about how we live. And we began that last week. But the book of Genesis, like the rest of the Torah, are mostly books of stories. Now, there's some laws, there's some rules, there's some lists, there's some genealogies, there's some poetry, but mostly it's stories. And when we read about the stories, what we're trying to do is see in the stories, some people learn to live and live life well. And then we're going to look at some others, and they didn't live life well. So we're going to learn how to do life from reading the stories, and also how not to do life from reading some of the stories. And so the first story, though, that kind of builds the foundation for everything else is the creation story. And it begins, as we talked about last week, with the idea of power and love. God is a powerful God. He's unmatched when it comes to power. And the same for love. He's a relational God. The scripture will say God is love. And so these two truths are at the foundation of our story, and that's what we talked about last week. Now then, here's another big point for us. We kind of jump off here at this point to say we trust him. We trust God because of his power and love. I'm looking at a baby being rocked. You know, look, everybody, if you're not here, you can't see this, but you know, if you are, you look, and she's a beauty, and she trusts Sherry, right? You can see that. She trusts her. And this is what we're coming to do with God. We trust him because he knows what he's doing. and he loves us, and he can do things. He's, because of his power, God can make things good. He's providing for us. He can do it. He can provide water. He can provide the air we breathe. He can provide the food that we need. And a lot of times, life doesn't look too good, but we still trust God. We trust God because he has the power to make things good and right. But he wants to do it, and we trust that he has our best interest at heart. So we obey his instructions, and we're going to talk about the instructions in just a minute, because we trust him. We trust that God's on our side. Sometimes, and you know, just give you a little hand raise like this, sometimes you wonder, is God on my side? Because life's going rough. So it's an act of trust and faith that we say, no, I believe God's on my side. And so this is how this story begins. It begins with creation. And as you read the story, and as you look and experience creation yourself, okay, creation is beautiful. But there's other words that describe creation, and I had a long list of words I was going to read, but I decided instead, you tell me words. Creation is, fill in the blank, what is? Creation is amazing. It is, it's a miracle. It's powerful. It's inspiring, yes. It's indescribable. It's awesome. There's words after words after words. Creation is awesome. So one of the things I wanted to do is get some of our kids involved, and really Jeanette and Sally are going to help with this. A couple weeks from now, who did I tell you? Colby. Colby's going to do a video. He's doing one about Noah and the Ark. I'm pretty pumped about that. But today, our initial one is a video by my granddaughters. I have granddaughters in their 20s, and I have some grandchildren, grandsons in their, you know, four, five, and seven. That's what we got today. And they're going to answer the question, what is good about creation? What do you like? What do you like? What's something that God made that you like? And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm going to have to interpret some of this after it's over. So, you know, you just be ready for that.
What is one thing that you're really glad that God made?
I'm glad that Jesus made animals to kill. So if you run out of food, you can just go hunt and kill. And then you, your family can survive forever. And you have enough. And
I can't get on.
And if you don't have any water, you can go to a river or a pond and grab some water.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's my end. Addie, what is one thing that you're really glad that God made?
I get off the family and friends, because they guide me, they play with me all the time, and I love them super much, like my brothers Peyton and Beckett. And my mom and dad, and my friends to play with.
Awesome. Beckett, what is one thing that you're really glad that God made?
And it's when Chandler chases Bear.
When our dogs chase each other?
Yes.
What do you like about our dogs?
I like when Bear does this.
Is that silly? Mom.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
There you go. I mean, what other wisdom do you need for today, right? Let's go out on that. So, but they sent a couple other videos. But our youngest, he is right now, and I think I don't remember going through the stage, but some others have probably. He's pretty fascinated with poop right now. So, a lot of his other videos, they would have that. But right now, these guys nailed it really for me because they covered some of the things we're going to talk about in grown-up talk. And one is, you know, God has provided food for us, hasn't he? And it sort of shocked me when my grandson says, you know, I'm glad that God made animals because we can kill them. Kind of go light on that, bro. But yeah, and he said, you know, water, we can go to a river. I'm not sure that's how we get water. Go to a river. If you need some water, go to a river or a pond and just grab a drink. Okay, yeah, God's good. Amen. Let's go. And then my granddaughter, she's like, oh, help people, family and friends. He's provided family and friends for me. And then the youngest, you know, and this is really, I wasn't sure how we're going to get to this other book I'm going to read to you in just a second, but he led the way. He likes to watch his dogs play and chase each other. And so that leads me to a book by Louis Giglio, and it's a kid's book, but, you know, that means it's just about good for me, kid's book, and it's about science and creation, science and God. It's 100 devotionals on science and God, and it's really pretty deep and good as well. But I want to read this one. This is about, again, God and creation. Want to Play? That's the name of it. Have you ever watched a kitten bat at a piece of string or sent a puppy running to fetch a ball or watched a group of otters at the zoo twisting and twirling through the water? Just like you, animals love to play. Baby kangaroos love to play fight with their moms, and certain kind of fish will jump playfully over turtles and twigs. But it's the dolphins that are perhaps best known for their playfulness, jumping and spinning and twirling. Scientists believe animals play for several different reasons: to practice life skills, to communicate with each other, or perhaps the sheer joy of playing in God's creation. At this moment, I just want to say, I want us to sort of come back at me with this. God is good. God is good. The last reason may be the very best reason of all for us to play. God created this world for his people not only to live in and take care of, but also to enjoy. God didn't have to make the flowers in so many different beautiful colors. He didn't have to create puddles to jump in, trees to climb, hills to go rolling down, but he did. He didn't have to make so many kinds of delicious fruits and vegetables. By the way, I don't think there was such a thing as broccoli before the fall. But we'll get to that in a couple weeks, right, Jeremy? Yeah, okay. But he did. So take time to enjoy all the wonders of this world that God has made. Let the animals teach you a thing or two. Go outside and play. Anyway, great book. Highly recommend the book. But creation, right? It is just indescribable, just like he says. So here we are. And I want to say we're beginning this story of creation. And I'm going to talk about the 6 days. The 6 days of creation. And Genesis 1, the first couple of verses start out with just this idea, just that it's a setup for the rest of the story. It's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now he's going to tell you how he did it. So on day one, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And we had a little, my niece and nephew, great niece and great nephew, I guess, Elizabeth and Elijah were making a video too. But their teacher, Elizabeth's teacher, kindergarten teacher, was telling her about God and how God just spoke and there was light. And Elizabeth said, yeah, I can do that too. I say, Alexa, turn on the light. And the lights come on. But we all know God created from nothing, light. And day two, there were skies and waters, and he separated water from water. And this is kind of confusing to me. What it must have looked like, where there's just this big blob of water, and then there's this sort of pile of wet water, and then there's some atmosphere water, and then that was day two. And then day three, he created the dry ground, and continents came up, and islands came up. And then he also, on day three, created plants, And by now, he started in that rhythm of saying, at the end of the day, it was good. He said he made some plants and it was good. Don't you know? Just imagining the plants coming up, it was good. Now, it's interesting, in chapter 1, he says, he made the plants, just spoke them into existence. In chapter 2, it says he planted a garden. So he not only spoke them into existence, but he planted some and they grew up. Interesting to me. That's something that Steve's reading as he's reading the Bible all the way through. So then day 4, sun for the daytime light. I guess, I don't know what the light was like before the sun, before day 4. On day 1, 2, and 3, there was light. But on day 4, he made sun for daytime light. And he made moon and stars for nighttime light. And you know, we've learned so much about the universe, about the galaxies, and about the stars. But there's so much we don't know. Because God is just indescribable, again, beyond our imagination. And in day 5, he made birds and he made creatures that live in the sea, fish and other sea creatures. And on day 6, he made animals that live on the ground. And then I guess later in the day, he made the human beings. And he made those human beings in his own image. So you're imagining, we've got mountains. And for me, when I think of mountains, it's just the Rockies. Even though I've been to the Alps, actually. I've seen the Alps, but for me, it's still the Rockies. Love me, the Rocky Mountains and the Colorado Rocky Mountains especially. And then there's oceans. And there's forests. And there's gardens. And there's sunsets. And it was good. It was good. When I was teaching my Bible class, I didn't want to say it's not good. It was really good. And there was snow. Woo! Every once in a while in certain places. And there was lightning. And there were animals of all kinds. But just a little more personal, I wrote down, I did this for a couple of hours this last week, just writing stuff down. So these are just a few of the ones I wrote down that I'm so glad God made these. The flavor of a well-cooked steak. Go ahead. It was good. Or Betty's banana pudding. Yeah. Or the beauty of an Aaron Judge home run. Or I'll say a Troy Aikman touchdown pass. How did God make us so we could do all these things? We hit balls and throw them. Or, rare though this may be, the beauty of a logical argument. Don't you sometimes just appreciate, you know, how the mind can work and figure things out? Or the sound and feeling of fresh snow under your skis. Or the complexity of the human eye. Wow. God created the human eye. Or the beauty of Mary Beth's blue eyes. Either way, pretty sweet, pretty good. The warmth of a hug. God made arms that can do this. Is that good? It's good. The pleasure of laughing out loud. Or for me, every once in a while, it's even more fun, more enjoyable to watch my parents laugh. I love to watch my dad laugh. The excitement of a baby being born. God made that. All this is the experience of shalom. Just peace. And last but not least, it's really not last because we didn't cover everything. It's the feeling of loving and being loved by another human being. It's that feeling of loving another human being and being loved. And that is to experience shalom with another person. It's what marriage is about. It's what friendship is. It's what family is. It's what church is. And there's this goodness that he made human beings, and we love loving. And we also love being loved. The way our story tells it, this experience shalom with another human being is the last verse of chapter 2. They were naked and not ashamed. And we say again, hey man, they're just, I love you. You love me. Creation was just so good. The 6 days. But after the magnificent creation, as we're reading in our story, in the story that's going to teach us how to live, when that is complete, God moves to giving us some explicit instructions. Now, we got a lot of instructions in the book that aren't explicit. Like, for instance, you come to know it's not good to murder because Cain is going to kill Abel. But there's no instruction, there's no explicit instructions, just the story, right? You get that? Everybody kind of nod. But then there are some explicit commands. And so we start in chapter 1, verse 28, and what that is, it goes like this. It says, God blessed them and said to them, he's talking about human beings, the ones he created in his own image in verse 27. It says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Here's God giving Adam and Eve the instructions. I want you to be in charge. I want you to fill the earth. Now, I think we've done that. So some of the things, instructions he gives, you do a job and now that job is complete. The earth is filled. Now, there's some other ways to fill it besides just numbers, and we'll get to that in a few weeks. But right now, he says, fill it, be fruitful, multiply, fill and subdue the earth. And then he says, go ahead and rule over it or have dominion over it. And he especially says over the animals. He says, rule over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. He's saying, you're in charge. And here's the thing that happens when you're in charge. You have responsibility. But mostly saying, man, woman, you guys, I'm putting you in charge of this world. Right now, I've made all this, and now I'm handing it over to you. You're in charge. Now then, with this, I guess, power or authority, as you say, authority, comes responsibility. I was like this and still not as much now. But I always wanted to be the boss until I became the boss. You know? I don't know if you've ever been the boss. Sometimes the boss, it's not as good as it looks because you have this responsibility to take care of everyone else. And this was our responsibility. Human beings is to take care of the earth, to take care of the animals. We're in charge of them. And as my grandson said, we're going to eat some of them. Some of us are going to eat some animals today after lunch. Now, it's not we're not going to go kill your puppy or go to the zoo and, you know, eat the kangaroo. We're not doing that. But we're going to eat. And God said, okay. Actually, he didn't say, okay, eat the animals yet. For right in chapter 1, he's just saying, eat the vegetables. Now, in chapter 9, he'll let us eat the animals, but that'll come in a bit. But this idea of being in charge is part of the instruction that God has given us. What does it mean for us to rule over, have dominion over the earth? And we're going to come to more lessons about this as we go through the instructions, the rest of Genesis. But we're going to see that. Now then, in this story, though, there's another part of the instructions in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, the instructions come this way. Verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and to take care of it. So he's kind of reminding you of that first command, okay? Your job, I'm putting you in this garden to work it and to take care of it. And then he says, you're free to eat from every tree in the garden, but Okay, this is verse 17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you'll surely die. So here he comes with some instructions, and the book's going to be full of these, some instructions with consequences. If you do it the right way, good things are going to happen. If you do it the wrong way, bad things are going to happen. And this is where we come down to this point in our story with God. Some of these instructions, they're going to have consequences that are going to sting or hurt or even kill us. Here's what Romans says about this. First of all, in Romans 1, here's what Romans 1 says about creation. He says, by looking at the creation, you can see an invisible God. Do you understand what that means? By looking at all this that God made, you can understand, you should understand that somebody did this. God did this. Romans 1, verse 20. But in Romans 8, he also talks to this situation about sin. We're going to get into the fall in a couple of weeks and the results of what happens when you don't follow the instructions. Because when you don't follow the instructions, it doesn't just impact you. It impacts others. And here's what Romans 8 says, that the creation itself is undergoing frustration, and he says bondage to decay because of sin. The creation itself. So what we know is, while we see all these great things in creation, we also know there's problems in creation, right? Just as much as how great the eye is, okay, and God made our bodies. Right now, we all suffering from all kinds of disease, which is not God's plan, see? But the creation itself is under the bondage of decay because of the failure to follow the instructions. What were the instructions? Don't eat from that. Again, a couple of weeks, we're going to spend the whole sermon on just that moment and what the impact of that moment is. But right now, here's where we are today. It's this question. Do you trust God? That's what Adam and Eve, that was their question. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Okay, I'm powerful. I've just displayed my power by creating the earth and you. Do you trust me? I love you. I've created you so many things for you to do and enjoy. I love you. Do you trust me? Because I'm going to ask you to trust me. Our relationship that I'm going to have with God is going to be based on, do I trust him? Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. If you hear these words of mine and put them into practice, and then he says you'll be like a wise man. If you don't put them into practice, you'll be like a fool. This putting the words into practice, hearing God's word and putting them into practice. So that's our question. Do you trust God? So the Torah, the instructions of God, Genesis 1 and 2, are teaching us this lesson and asking us this question. The lesson is God is all-powerful, and he loves you, and he's given you everything you need. His question to you today, just like it was to Adam and Eve, do you trust him? And right off the bat, I want to say yes. Until I have decisions to make and it's what I want or what he's instructed. Because sometimes what I want to do isn't in the instructions. So the question is, do I trust him? And do what he says, like Jesus, I put his words into practice? Or do I not trust him? Because he says, if I'll do it his way, life's going to be good. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't, there's some things you're asking me to do, God, doesn't feel good. He says, you trust me. But some things you're asking me not to do look really good. He said, you need to trust me. That's your question. Do you trust God enough to do what he says? We're going to sing a song now. And in the song, we're actually declaring our answer to God. So this is one of those deals where I want you to think, can I really sing this song? This is the question God is asking Adam and Eve. I've given all this to you, and I'm asking you, don't eat that fruit. Here's the song we're going to say. It says, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Let's stand and let's sing this song.